And we are actually, let me know if you can't. I'm guessing you can hear me.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay, so we are recording and now we're at so we did the agenda review. So now we're getting into the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. And I'll include the link for joining the CCG. And you'll need to have a W3C web account first, which you can do at the following location. It's free to join for community groups in any case. And then the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement is available at this link. Call notes, these minutes, and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived in the meetings GitHub repo for the Credentials Community Group. And that's available at this location. Then for queuing, I think we've been roughly following the convention of just in the Zoom window typing Q plus, that's the letter Q, and then the symbol plus, no space. And that allows me to remember the order so I can call on you. And lastly, but because I rejoin, I want to make sure everyone has the link to the agenda, and that is right here. Okay, let's get to introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? Actually, I see someone who is not new, but new to this call. Heather, can I call on you to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. So I'm the CCG co-chair for the regular CCG meetings on Tuesday, and I'm just popping into all the task forces and wanting to see what's going on with them. So nice to see all you guys. I see a bunch of people that I already know and a lot of new faces.
Hello, did we lose audio?
Did you
No, we
guys
can
hear what
hear
I
you.
had to say?
Yeah,
Yeah,
we
we
heard
heard you.
Heather. I lost. Okay, it must have just been my. Okay, so, sorry about that. I must have cut off at some point. But yes, thank you, Heather, for joining. And let's see, for reintroductions, let me see who we should call on. Actually, I think reintroduction is also a good time to call on people when they're at a great career transition times. And Carrie is a as well. I always get up the phase right, but she's very close to wrapping up her PhD. Carrie, can I call on you to reintroduce yourself to the group?
Sure. My name is Carrie Lemoy, and I've been working in the digital credentials space, especially with open badges and this group for a long time, for over a decade. And I've been working on a PhD in media psychology, and my study is on adoption of self-sovereign identity. And I'm extending a framework related to adoption that has to do with trustworthiness and internet self-efficacy. And it's a mouthful. So it should be done this March. And yeah, I'm just like here to help figure out, how we best set up verifiable credentials for education.
Great. Thank you, Carrie, and for all your work in this area. And anyone else, if you ever have any sort of times where you're either switching, wrapping something up, starting something new, or starting a new project and you want to talk to the group about it to signal your interest, this reintroduction is always a good time to drum up interest and support for whatever you're doing and making connections. So feel free to introduce yourself at any time. Okay, announcements and reminders. Let's move on to that. I wanted to just do a kind of announcement about submitting use cases. So there are two ways you can submit use cases, and this is for the verifiable credentials modeling document. So we've been collecting some use cases. Actually, right now we have like three only, but we're still accepting them a while. I don't think we have an end date yet, but there are two ways you can do that. One way is to fill out this GitHub issue template. And the other way is thanks to Carrie for creating a much more user-friendly Google form. And the link for that is right here. So either way will work. If you use the Google form, we'll make sure to submit an issue for you. And we'll be going through those to help inform both the modeling use cases document and the main work item that we're on, which is the modeling document, and making sure that we can cover some core scenarios. If you have any announcements or reminders, feel free to add yourself to the queue. This is a good time to tell people about any conferences coming up or anything. Okay. Oh, Nate, you are up.
Well done. I just wanted to mention that there is a upcoming Digital Credential Summit, which is the IMS Global Digital Credential Summit. IMS, of course, is the organization behind Open Badges specification and CLR. So I'll post a link to the Digital Credential Summit for 2021, which will be online. And I don't know off the top of my head about costs, but there's a registration link there. And I think it is pretty inexpensive, at least for IMS members and for the general public. So.
Thank you, Nate. And Keith, you're up next.
Just a quick question. So I have a use case I want to bring in, I've been working on. We're not a W3C member. Is there anything, I know in the intro you always do the contributor license, the contributor agreement. Do we need to do any of that stuff to submit an issue as a non-W3C member?
Yeah. That's right. And actually, it's okay if you're not. I'm glad that you asked that because at the community tier, you can also join as an individual contributor if the, you know, for whatever reason, the company fees or something are the part that's prohibitive. So, you can join in as an individual. It's obviously preferred if you can join as your company, but individual is fine. And that gives you the ability to do anything that you need to in a community group. That's one of the key differences between community groups and working groups. So yeah, please do join. And we'll let me know also if you need help filling out the templates or anything like that. Or lastly, I think as Marty pointed out last week, the templates mention a lot of things, but feel free to just fill it out in whatever state, and we can also review it on a call to talk through what might be missing.
Great, thanks.
And Carrie, you're up next.
Is it okay for the general public to submit use cases to using the Google form? If review them before we submit them to the GitHub.
That's a great question. I think it's probably fine if we're doing it that way, but actually let me take an action to follow up on that. Let's see, because I think that what I said previously, like I think that yes, it's definitely, especially someone like Keith, who's a regular member, it would be better for us to get him as a member, but for someone externally who's not really participating in the regular calls, I think that would be okay as long as we're sort of like translating it for them or something. I think the main thing is like if they're making substantive changes to the work output, which I think inputting use cases would not qualify as much as opposed to someone in this group who's actually shaping the output of what we deliver.
Yeah, thank you.
So we'll take an action to sort of provide a little better clarity on that. Yeah, Nate, IP cleanliness, always good. Okay, I think we are ready to move on to the Bain topic, unless, did I miss anyone? Okay, looks like we have everything. And we'll move on to the main topic for today, which is milestone one review continued. And I'm going to paste in a link to the PR, which I do not recommend you look at because I'm going to show a preview of the PR, which is in the respec format. And I'll also share my screen. Okay, so just as a refresher, in milestone one, what we've been talking about is effectively 1.4 and 1.5 in the current numbering, at least. I think that the structure of this, we're going to change a little bit over time or in the coming weeks. So to refresh, last week we reviewed and merged Carrie's proposed changes around conceptual clarity. And so I think concepts 1-4, a lot of that really took in the feedback around generalization of concepts, clarifying that we mean informal in addition to formal, clarifying words that were maybe ambiguous or sort of implied something more specific than intended. But then we also added concepts of subject and issuer because those are some of the key aspects of the verifiable credentials data model that we either were covered unevenly or maybe might be missing from other types of credential standards. So we wanted to make sure that we provided some kind of guidance clarity. So we have that. The area where we decided we needed more work was, and you'll see that there's still to-dos that need some work, but the area that we realized we needed more work was sort of the relationships among these concepts. But then also, I think it was referred to in the milestone as specification versus instantiation, and there was a lot of feedback that's unclear. As a refresher, what was intended when we had the language specification versus instantiation was the idea of basically to reuse SEDS terminology, credential definition, and the difference between, say, credential definition and credential assertion sort of thing. So assertion being an individual's attainment of that credential definitions. And so I started reflecting on, work that's already been done, basically, because if we can reuse someone else's great work on this, then we're saving ourselves a lot of time. I came up with an approach that I thought might work. And it's sort of called out in more detail here. But what I'm proposing here is that, okay, the rationale here is that there's already a lot of work in the SEDS conceptual model to generalize these concepts, these core concepts that are needed in our area that we're referring to. And there's already significant work in alignment across SEDS, CTDL, IMS standards. And we see that, in fact, in the T3 Innovation Network's mapping tool, for example. So it took me a while to tease apart everything, but I think that there's a way that we can sort of reuse what SEDS has done in by virtue of that kind of benefiting from the alignment work already done. So I'm going to sketch that out along with some details about how that could work, how that could benefit our work item. But so let me give a little bit of context in SEDS. So there are four key SEDS concepts, and these are referred to as superclasses. The main document is here. This is a fairly short read, and it's very helpful. So there are four key concepts: person, organization, resource, relationship. It's probably actually worth showing how they are. I'm at the point where I'm just writing Jim Goodell as the author for anything I haven't confirmed yet. So I'll go back and fix that later. He's my new Alice Bob. So basically, these are the core concepts, and in relation in the middle of the Venn diagram, of course, showing you know, how these can relate to each other. Then, and it defines these, so we have nice, good definitions and clarifications, examples. But then I want to call out as well that within relationships, there are two kinds of relationships called out, and those are role and event. And so let's just glance at these definitions real fast. So a role is sort of the more general notion of when we talk about enrollment or involvement kinds of relationships. And then event are like assertion events that we're also interested in. So what I'm proposing here is essentially that we dodge this specification versus instantiation notion, which was kind of underdefined, and instead base what we're trying to express in SEDS terminology. And I'll show how that can benefit us, basically. Sorry, that is a pug sound. Okay, so looking over here, I'll fix the sizing on this. A verifiable credential has a field, credential subject, and that type is, in SEDS terminology, that concept is person. And it has an issuer, which is a person or organization. I want to call out something now, which is that in the verifiable credential data model, these aren't requirements that they be person or organization. They can be some kind of internet device or something like that. Like, you can have a device issuing verifiable credentials. But in terms of the use cases that we've defined in this group, and I have sort of the proper hedging language around that, everything we've called out so far, we have a person or organization issuing, and we have a person subject. So we can relax that or change that if need be. But I think these restrictions are kind of helpful for us. The cons now, so these are concepts 5 and 6, issuer and subject. Concepts 1 through 4 is all fit very cleanly into either a SEDS resource or a SEDS relationship. So I forget the numbering exactly, but so we have credential definition and competency definition as part of our concepts. In SEDS terminology, that's a resource. We have involvement and activity. This one doesn't seem intuitive at first, but you have to, if you work through the SEDS conceptual model, it starts to make sense. In SEDS terminology, those are two types of relationships. So I've called out some naming or color guidelines here. Basically, the green boxes are SEDS concepts. The blue boxes are examples, and then in bold are specific named SEDS relations, just if that's helpful, to sort of clarify what the examples are in our space that are relevant. Now, the lines are sort of TBD. So one thing that we've talked about in the past, for example, converting to schema.org language, do we want lines going from person to more general things like person to resource, or do we want specific language like person has achieved versus has demonstrated? I don't know. But so we don't want to get into that discussion yet because that's coming later. But effectively, it's showing that, yeah, we can sort of, if we wanted to, we can try to bubble up relationships between person. Oops, I'm getting an unstable internet connection. Let me see if I've cut out.
We can hear you. Okay.
You're fine. If we want. Okay, good. So if we want to, we could, I don't know, if we want to, we can even define something even higher level. That's totally an option. But all I'm getting at here is the idea of, I like using SEDS as a model because we know they've sort of thought through a bit more all these classifications. We know where everything we're trying to express fits within that. And there is already a lot of work aligning SEDS to the other sort of specific named data standards that we want to use. So I need to work on the visual display, but I pull out here exactly how the map. So concept one is activity, and roughly the language that we've been using is person did or performed activity, which is a SEDS event. Concept two, competency, person in our loose language demonstrated competency definition, which in SEDS language is a resource. Recognition type is concept three, person has or has earned credential definition. Now in schema.org, that is has credential clearly, and we may want to use has credential more broadly as well. And then I don't think we talked much about concept four, but roughly the language we were using was something like has role involvement, and that is a SEDS relationship. So then if we like this framing, then what we can do is for the rest of the document and the rest of the milestones, our work becomes a little bit easier because I think what we're doing is saying, okay, for issuer type and subject type, or issuer and subject, we're more concerned about saying what the recommended properties are for interoperability. And possibly we may need a special, like JSON-LD type if we can't reuse one that's already out there, to basically sort of serve as a baseline for that vocabulary. But basically we're just sort of filling in, okay, what are the properties that we want for interoperability, like among wallets and other systems? So to clarify that, for example, person, we've always been talking about using schema.org person, but specifically if we want to say, and these are the certain types maybe outside of the VC data model that we want to sort of say are required for a credential subject, these are what those are. And we don't have to get into that now, those are the subjects of future milestones. We might also want to say that on the verifiable credential layer, there are certain properties that we recommend for interoperability. So there's only a few required ones at the outermost level. I think issuance date is a required one, but we might have certain things that we want there. And then within person's relationship to these concepts that we've defined, you know, we'll be figuring out what are property names that describe those relationships. It may be an existing one, it may need to be a new one. We'll also define, this one is duplication of bullet three. We'll also define examples and realizations for, when I say TBD data standards, those are the ones that we've outlined in the charter here, basically. Whether those IMS open badges, PESC, et cetera. So where did I lose it? Okay. So I think that for me, at least, if we anchor in SEDS, that gives a little bit clearer way for the flow of the remaining milestones to work, where those milestones are things like, the things that we've outlined here. So activities, skills, issuer properties, credential subject. There was a last note that I wanted to mention. It's not coming to me now though. So, and I noticed there's some questions on the queue. So let me go back to go through that. And if it's answered, that's fine. I don't mind rehashing things that are solved in the chat because I think it helps to discuss it. Simone, you had a concept of publisher and Nate responded. Can we just, Simone and or Nate, can you talk to that real fast?
I just actually mentioned it came up on a presentation last week by the North Dakota Initiative around open credential publisher. And I realized that in CLAR, there is a concept of publisher. Actually, Nate did address the question already in the chat. I don't know if Marty wanted to add anything, but I didn't mean to just go off that tangent at all. I'm good. Thank you.
Nate or Marty?
I just replied that within the verifiable credentials ecosystem, there's a concept such as a verifiable presentation versus a single verifiable credential. And a presentation can be used to bundle up several credentials from maybe one or more issuers and then present them for a purpose. And that's a very parallel purpose to a CLR document, which bundles up several achievements into a single document and then presents them for a particular purpose. So I believe in verifiable credentials, there is a issuer of both documents is the relationship that's declared. So the issuer of a VP is parallel to a publisher in CLR, and the issuer of a credential is parallel to the issuer of a credential in CLR. They could have chosen to use the same name for that in CLR as well, but they developed different names for in CLR, but essentially it's the same. It's the entity responsible for the production of a particular document.
Got it, thank you. And you reminded me, fortunately, of my thing. Carrie, you're up next.
I actually have three things. I'll be quick though. I'll go in order of the document. I think the document's really coming together, so thank you. The first one is, could we add peer to roles in the diagram above where we have the different roles listed? I think we should probably keep peer in there so we can do peer-to-peer credentials and make sure those are included in concepts.
Let me just double check real fast. So you're talking about in which section?
Or well, you have the, I think you have like a Venn diagram or you have roles listed somewhere. I think it was above.
Oh.
Was that in this document?
So I did switch SEDS document. Oh, wait, where was that? Was that in?
I thought it was our document, but maybe it was in SEDS. Oh, right there. Roll. In the purple. Oh, you're in SEDS. Oh, no, it was the table that you showed that had roles in it. So that must be in SEDS. That's not ours. Okay.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But it doesn't include
here.
I
do want to make sure. Yeah. So like basically the idea would be like issuer being peer, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I thought that was I misunderstood. I thought that was a table that you made, not one that was in SEDS.
Let me make sure that we've called it out here. Yeah, so we have it in terms of example. I think I think we'll need to keep track of, you know, definitely as we build out the issuer one, but also let me know if you see anything missing from here. And also I definitely, you know, I realize that the current state is not very polished. I'll clean up the TBDs and do then. But also it would be good to see if we need clarity in this section and make sure that peers are acceptable.
Cool.
So you had three ads.
Oh yeah, sorry. And then Jim said in the chat that peer is kind of a person. It definitely, I'm just thinking that a peer is different than say a teacher, right? A colleague might be a peer or might be a student. The other thing I was noticing in the chart in here, in your chart, where we have the credential subject, I think maybe we should also make that organization. Mm-hmm. And this is for when persons are, I know it may sound strange, but maybe they're doing ratings of organizations and we want those to be verifiable credentials for some kind of, you know, calculatable system, right? Like Glassdoor or something like that.
Yeah. So I want to pause there because I was thinking that, and here I'm probably being overly strict. I liked the idea of targeting exactly the use cases, but at the same time, I think it's fair to call out if it's something that we feasibly know is going to be in scope, like even if it doesn't happen to be in the use cases that we've collected, but we know that they're generally in our space. Well, maybe that would argue for submitting a use case. So let me add that to track it as something that, you know, maybe that's an area where we need to ensure we have a use case to cover it.
Okay, that sounds good. And then just the third thing was just what I liked seeing in here a lot was the difference. I know I keep bringing it up, but the difference between demonstrating a competency and being recognized with a credential. And I noticed, I was looking this up in SEDS to see how that could be handled. And there is something called a competency assertion. And I know that this is something different that we're not actually, I don't think we're doing this very much. Someone could correct me who has been doing this, but I don't think we actually differentiate. We normally say if a credential was issued, the competencies have been met. But, you know, separating the two, I think makes a lot of sense.
Right. I see what you're saying. I think that, and I could be missing a point of what you're getting at, but the idea that I was thinking was it's still kind of unclear to me how exactly that would work. Like, I sort of like the idea of using the work we're doing here as the minimum connective tissue between verifiable credentials and other standards, right? And so it's possible that we'll need to be comfortable with the idea that at a certain point, other standards take over and there will be flexibility. So like how CTDL does it might be different from something else. So I think I'm still trying to figure out like what the balance is in terms of the how far we want the patterns to go. So I am curious for feedback on that. I don't know if it made sense, but curious for your reaction to that, if that did make sense. Let me see who we have. I wanted to call on Nate's point right here. Nate, can you talk to that?
And apologies in advance that there was sort of two conversation threads, one in the chat and one in the audio. Would you like to speak to which?
And I didn't say that what that is. IMS CLR is not compatible with VP as a wrapper. Can you talk to that?
So IMS, you know, IMS CLR probably should have done some of this modeling work when they started sort of the relaunch of the effort in like 2018. They didn't. And so it's not surprising that there may be some awkward fits between CLR concepts and verifiable credential concepts. The idea of a verifiable presentation is it's a document presented by a presenter to a consumer of some sort that contains one or more verifiable credentials. And the only way right now, if you wanted to package up a CLR in a verifiable credential, is essentially, as Simone said, to use the CLR document JSON as a payload within a credential. And we've seen a couple of prototypes of this over the last couple months. It's unclear to me sort of how much legs this approach has, but nevertheless, it is a likely way that we could essentially get some of the benefits of verifiable credentials with CLR as it is, you know, around like supporting multiple different types of digital signatures that aren't supported natively by CLR. But it still is like jamming one type of message into another type of envelope. And so because of that, it's not possible to sort of recast all of the individual achievements in a CLR as verifiable credentials. And then so that they can be included in a traditional verifiable presentation. So if we want to move forward with a CLR supporting vendor that is publishing CLRs, probably the way to do it is as, you know, in this like learner has a credential, which is a giant transcript of many different achievements expressed in CLR format. And that'll probably be good enough for now. And we will see if there's a market for the consumption of that. At the same time as other approaches will be tried that are a little bit more granular in our model, where individual achievements are expressed as verifiable credentials and then can be bundled through the techniques native to verifiable credentials and verifiable presentations.
Yes, thanks for talking through that. Phil Long, can I calling you 8:35 to talk through your response to it? Your analogy is clear, but it's still confusing.
Yeah, well, I think Nate is on target with what he's saying. The issue has to do with the issuer having the ability to combine multiple of its credentials into different signed packages. And while some of us have sort of been thinking that it would be either an atomistic credentialing approach from an institution, for example, every class is issued as a separate statement rather than the typical registrar's transcript, which is everything I ever took there. It gets confusing because there are also issued credentials that are non-credit bearing that different parts of the institution may be putting together. And so in the current model with verified credentials, the only one who can make a presentation which combines multiple sources is the holder. But as Nate is saying, institutions are starting to see that there is a possibility that they can do that kind of thing as well, even if the credentials maybe all from the same institution, but of multiple types. So it's an area of fuzziness we have to watch and see.
Yeah.
Hope that makes sense.
Yes, thank you. Can CLRs contain CLRs? No. I assumed you could, but okay.
And thank you, Nate.
I haven't been sitting in on those calls for 4 years for nothing.
Marty, you're up.
Yeah, so I just wanted to speak to kind of the multiple assertion within the CLR. So the way that we've currently handled it is that the CLR contains kind of a summary or a transcript document, which is just a PDF of the official transcript. And then we have all of the individual assertions as other assertions within that CLR. So that's one way to handle it, is a kind of a single assertion that's kind of your summary that can be verified due to its just nature of the encoding. And then secondarily is that you have all the individual assertions that can then be broken out and repackaged individually. We're thinking about BBS Plus or something like that, because every K-12 assertion would be kind of ridiculous to express individually to a wallet. But we may still do that. So just kind of a one method of application there.
Great. And Phil Long has a question. Phil?
Yeah, I think what Marty just said is that they're looking at the entire transcript as one thing, and then every individual element in it can be independently verified as a separate strategy. If that's true, that makes sense. And I also get his last comment that in a K-12 sense, you probably aren't likely to need or want to do that, but it gets confusing for higher ed institutions, which have multiple entities, some credit, some non-credit, some that are graduate and or professional along with undergraduate and all of that. And that's where it starts to get dicey.
Yes, so that is the case. And actually in the publishing process, the originating CLR can be, assertions can be identified to be signed. And so there are, in that same CLR, you can have unsigned assertions as well. So then the publisher process actually identifies and signs those assertions as appropriate.
Yeah. Jim Goodell, you're up.
So I think the what everyone said is right about once someone is in college, you don't care about the K-12 granular details, but when a student's still in high school, you care about maybe the badge that they just got. But then a year or two later, it becomes less. You care about very granular data when it's recent, but that information perishes and becomes less valuable a year later and then a year after that.
I find that a very interesting insight that we might find useful. I'm going to make a note of that. I missed Nate, you're up.
Yeah, just commenting to say that, well, I agree Jim might be describing the current world correctly. That is not necessarily the world that we are building if we do a good job in this group and in the industry that implements the recommendations that we might discover here. In that right now, it is very impractical for the higher education ecosystem to do much to understand and consume what happened in high school. But if we do a good job building competency assertions, for instance, we might see how the college learning experience builds on the high school learning experience and layers more credentials awarded to the same or complementary sets of competencies. So there are use cases that could be unlocked there.
Carrie, you're up.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. I was thinking what Nate just said too. And anecdotally, I'm thinking of like, oh, I had this job when I was 17 that I still use skills for now that I would say I learned then. And I think this would be an awesome topic for research at some point. Like, what does really happen? What does really matter to earners now? And what would they really like to have later?
Yeah, this is a really cool topic we should come back to. I was thinking about it in terms of like just at scale, like if you're collecting metrics on a system kind of thing, like what you tend to want to dive into in terms of recent events versus, you know, sort of long-term trends. And you may want to jump back, but it's sort of like, what do you have in your hot storage versus cold storage? I don't know. I was just thinking about it in terms of like when you have a whole lot of credentials and access patterns. So, but totally right. We should come back to this. Heather, you're up.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting this topic came up because this is something I've thought a lot about in the context of reputation management and reputation and reputation currencies. And there's a couple of different things that you need to consider when thinking about this. One is what is the arc of change, specifically, like if the arc of change happens like from like an event happens that's a negative, like in, if you think about like reputation management on Yelp, like a restaurant or something gets a lot of bad reviews or something gets a lot of bad reviews, can they change and like become better? And then you can apply this to humans and people too. So like a learner, you know, or, you know, what are things that you can learn in the arc of the education process? And then also, at what point does something become irrelevant? Like in the case context of like FICO score. So our financial information falls off after 7 years. But I did think it was really interesting that what Carrie said is, you know, there's still stuff I use from, you know, my job that I had when I was 17. So I think there's two different ways to think about that. There's stuff that you want to, that is from the past that you want to continue moving forward that was, you know, important to provide context around whatever the statement that you're making. But then there's also another arc that goes for like a redemption arc or a learning arc. Like if someone has had, you know, a negative thing, like can people learn and change? And at what point do we, you know, stop holding a grudge or something against someone if they have like learned from it? So anyway, these are just a couple of things that if you want to look into this idea, it's a bit more nuanced.
Yeah, that's a great, this is a really great topic. Let's see, so for the remaining issues for this one, okay, I think basically what we want to decide here, I'm going to glance back at our original milestone that for milestone one. So agree on high level concepts. I think that we're super close. We should agree. Well, we called it four, but we expanded it to six, which I think is appropriate because that included credential subject and issuer. So we have those, we have names, we have definitions. We dodged this one, and I sort of discussed the rationale on that in the thread below. So instead of concepts of specification, instantiation, we are using the framing from the SEDS conceptual document around, you know, sort of the core entities and the intersections of those, which could be events and roles and all of that, which I claim allow us to express everything that we have in our use cases so far. We had some remaining questions. I think these are actually, this one here, I think that we get into that as we continue our work progress. And so I don't think we need to answer that here. How do we relate? We basically, yep, look at SEDS. And then do we agree with concepts of specification versus instantiation? Again, we're dodging that. So what I'm proposing here is that we have a PR, a baseline combination from what we reviewed last week and this week, which is a good baseline that we can continue iterating on. Any objections to merging this as our new baseline? And is there anything major missing for milestone one beyond continuing to build this out? Any comments to or objections to this? Vote to merge. Give me in the chat, please type. Let's see, what do we do in CCG? Okay, yeah, plus one if you want to merge, or just say negative one if you don't, and I'll call on you. So let's see what else. Okay, in reminder that our flow of work is that, so this starts a 3-week kickoff basically, where, you know, I'm gonna merge this PR and, you know, clean it up a little bit, ping the mailing list. And I'm gonna ask people to review. We'll check in every week for 3 weeks. And as you think about it, just double check conceptually to these, you know, any major objections that you're thinking, but otherwise we're on track to close out this one in 3 weeks. And then we'll be done with milestone one. I see a lot of plus ones, and so I think we're good with this. And again, if anyone who didn't attend does have objections, we'll be able to deal with that afterwards. So I'm going to go ahead and merge that though. And with that, I do want to tee up the next milestone kickoff. Through the SEDS framing of our work, I started to come up with some ideas of what might be easiest for us. So I'm showing the quarter one schedule right now, and we had proposed basically a flow. I think it's possible that it might be easiest to work on some things like credential subject person or issuer first. So I'm looking for two things. We talked about the idea of, we would kick off a new milestone today and do basically, like, I think that this first milestone was one of our most complicated ones because we were trying to land a whole lot. I think that a lot of the ones going forward, especially those two, should be a bit easier. So the goal here is to think about, you know, sort of what's out there. So like, in, if we did issuer properties first, there is Open Badges has an issuer type, which I'm assuming is reused in CLR. We're using types like what schema.org types are out there, what types exist in CTDL, et cetera. So we want someone who can sort of understand what's out there and then figure out what are we trying to do here? Are there key properties that we want to recommend for interoperability? Can we reuse an existing type? Do we need, for whatever reason, to say another type that reuses those types or aligns with these other types? So do we have any volunteers to, I would say I'm happy to be involved with that too. Does anyone want to join me in kicking off the next milestone, which I think I would propose to be issuer as opposed to anything else? Phil, can you talk to that concern real fast?
Sure. It's one that's emerged already in that if organizations themselves are not viewed as or don't see themselves as having the technical capability to actually do the issuing of a verifiable credential themselves. There are models that have been presented where other organizations issue on their behalf. And unless we find a way to ensure that the organization that is listed as the issuer, presumably there's always been a connection between that and responsibility for the content and quality of whatever it is the assertion is about. So we have to figure out how to parse that in a way that is clear to everyone. And I'm happy to help with you on this one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, you're right. I think my hunch is that CTDL has probably done the most work in the area. So it'd be great to see what they've done. And I will take you up on that offer. So I have Phil and me working on issuer next. So I think we have just 3 minutes left. Any questions, comments before we leave? Nate, you're up.
Yeah, just briefly to respond to Phil's comment. I think modeling the issuer properties is a clear thing that we can work on that is not necessarily blocked by the trust questions that Phil brought up there. They're very good questions and something that, for instance, Open Badges basically just punted on 10 years ago and has never returned to. However, there are a bunch of different VC-aligned communities that are working on trust ecosystem models. And so hopefully when we address how those issues appear within the what we're trying to model, that we will have some good connections to the folks who are doing that work so that we have techniques that we can rely on and pick between, and we don't have to build anything at all from scratch.
Sounds great. Okay, well, in Phil, I'll try to sync with you so that we can get a PR in fairly soon so that people, okay, great. We have Nate signed up too, and then we'll try to send it out for people to review. I had someone else ping me offline to get involved too. So we have a good amount of people on this one. Thank you for volunteering, and we will, with luck, have a good PR for everyone to review next week around issuer properties. Thanks, everyone. We're making great progress here. Thank you so much.
Great job.
Get on.
Cheers.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Nice work.
Thanks, Faye.